Good morning, and thank you so much for coming for this session. So how we define all hazards? So for this particular module, we define all hazards that included natural disasters and severe weather events and human-induced disaster, which includes chemical and radiological emergencies. So we looked into the public health impact by disasters, the direct impact or an indirect impact. The direct impact, as you most of you are familiar, the damage to the homes, to the infrastructure, injury, deaths that occur as a result of a disaster, degradation to the environment as a result of any kind of natural disaster, emergency response in the cleanup phase, and the disruption of the day-to-day public health services and the programs. So if there are different parts of public health that also get impacted because now there's a huge disaster going through your community, how to respond, how to sustain the response, and then how to serve the community that is being affected. And then there's an indirect response, which leads to the economical part of the disaster, the business interruption, morbidity and mortality in the long term, and also the loss of infrastructure in the long term. So disaster preparedness and response, as most of you in the CSD's disaster work group are aware of, like, the key steps are to identify the vulnerable population, where there are people who will be more affected or can be more affected, and what are the available resources that you have that you can use for your planning as well as for the resource, for the response activities. And the needs for the state, local, tribal, and territorial health department and emergency managers is in terms of data. For the local data on previous disasters, so there's a better understanding of what type of disaster have happened in the past. What type of population exists in a particular jurisdiction, so you have a better understanding. Is there people that speak Spanish more compared to English, or there are more elderly in this particular area? So just understanding the population characteristics. And then infrastructure and resources. What you have on your hand that you can use and what you need that you don't have, so you can be better prepared for a disaster response. So that's where the all-hazard disaster module comes in. Our goal was to develop and implement an all-hazard disaster or an AHD module for the National Environmental Public Health Tracking Network to support the disaster preparedness and response at local, state, and federal level. It's a 3-year project. We are currently in our 3rd year. It was funded by CDC's Office of Public Health Emergency Response, Public Health Preparedness and Response, or OPHPR, as most of you are probably familiar with the office. And we had 3 main objectives. Our first objective was to provide relevant data, which will mainly look into the occurrence and impact of previous disasters. Population characteristics, as I was explaining, there is a need to understand who lives in the area, what type of needs are there for that particular population. Local infrastructure and available resources. Our second objective was to provide tools for data visualization and analysis to support the hazard vulnerability, risk, and capacity assessment. And that mainly include assess the type of disaster historically and the frequency and the severity that have happened in the past. Identify vulnerable population from a geographical, socioeconomic, and climatic perspectives. Evaluate emergency response capability and infrastructure capacity. And our third and final objective is to assess requirement to establish a secure, easy data exchange to process to support the response activities during a disaster. So we wanted to identify if there's a need to do a data exchange between CDC and local, or between local and state during or vice versa during a disaster response. So how to securely share data that either in terms of mortality, morbidity, infrastructure, resources, or any other like secure messaging that need to be happened to provide a platform for that. We also wanted to develop templates and protocols for data sharing and the tracking network secure portal access. There, see that there are a lot of states in here right now that are currently tracking state, but there are other states that are not tracking state. But in the past, tracking have received data from the state that are not tracking states. And we wanted to establish more formal and a secure platform where data exchange can happen. So develop data standards and documentation and how the collection and formatting of those data can happen, and those who are tracking state, you're more familiar with the XML schema. So we launched the All Hazard Disaster Module last year. We started with two content areas. We have population vulnerabilities and community characteristics, and we are working on additional content area. I will show those in a minute, like what are those additional content area. We also updated the functionality on the tracking portal, mainly added the sub-county level data display in terms of census tract level data. And we are working on additional data on content areas and functionality in the future, mainly in terms of to improve charting and how to visualize data better. So this is a screenshot of one of the content area that we developed. This is population and vulnerabilities. And the future addition that you can expect are custom social vulnerability index, or SVI. We currently have GraphSys SVI on the portal available. There's population density, daytime population density, population diagnosed with any chronic diseases. So if you look into, sure, I can use the mouse. Yeah. The step one is to select a content area, which is selected here as population and vulnerability. Step two is then to select your indicator. Here, these are the indicators under population and vulnerability. There's demographic, health status for 500 cities, social vulnerability index, and socioeconomic status. This is the second content area I was referring to, the community characteristics. And under that particular content area, the indicators are flood vulnerability, households, and land use. Additional content area to expect in the future are additional land use measures, mainly in terms of water, developed forests, agriculture, urban versus rural classification of counties, and infrastructure in terms of the location of hospitals, fire departments, and schools, and highway and roads. So to show how the portal works, as I said, I selected the content area. In this case, is the community characteristics. The indicator is household. And I'm going to select the measure, which is the person of housing unit with no vehicle available. So then the step two is to select the geography type. You want to visualize the data at a state level, at a national level, at the national level by county, state by county, or you want to have a state by county, the census tract level. And after you select the geography, the next step is to then select a state. In this case, I've selected Idaho, and you also select the year, and that is the 2010 is the most recent data available, because this is using the census data, so the most recent data is from 2010. So here's the measure for Idaho. This is, you can zoom into this map, move around on this map. You can roll over to the different counties, and it will give you a snap information of that particular county that where your mouse is at that point. And you also have the options to look into the charts or the table version of the data. You also can download the data and also share the query. So if you want to share this information, you don't have to write the step-by-step how to get to this particular screen. You can just share that query, and as the person opens that query, it will directly bring them to this page. So you can visualize the data, how it looks, and what you wanted to share with that particular person. You can also run a second query. As you see, there are two panels, and the second view option that you see on this side, you can select a second query. You can select either the same content area or a different content area, select the indicators and the measure that you're interested in, either for the same state or if you want to see how the data looks for another state. So here is how it will look if you have two different content area or two different measures shown at the same time. Here we added the population and vulnerability. The indicator is demographic, and the measure is percent of population who speak English less than very well. And it is zoomed into Boise at this point. So you see the data on one side for people who speak English less than well, and then the other side, the population density of the people that don't have a vehicle available at their home or for their household. Okay. So where we are going from here onwards. So those are the two content area that we added. And now we wanted to work on additional area. But I just wanted to highlight, we already have some data on the portal that can be used for disaster preparedness and response. There is a climate change content area. And under climate change content area, there is information on heat stress illness, on hospitalization and emergency department visits. And there is also going to be data or the different content area that are available on the All Hazard Disasters landing pages, which look different. I think this is more familiar for the tracking sites when it looks different from the tracking portal, because the landing pages provide the information on what is the indicator or the content area is about, what is the information included, information on data sources, how the data were prepared, and how it is displayed. So we want to continue evaluation and the implementation of previously mentioned measures and the indicators that I shared. We want to evaluate the available data for the tracking and the past extreme weather events and the impact. We're still looking to data sources that can provide us that information, and also enhance the functionality of the portal. So in terms of mapping, we have sub-county level data, and that data is not available for all indicators and measures. We are still working on getting more data that's available at the census tract level. We are still working on other data sources that can provide information at the sub-county level, either at the census tract level. And also want to enhance the timeline map, so you can see the changes over time, and there's also expanded the charting. So there's ways so you can have more than one type of chart in order to display the data and visualize the data. We are also developing an all-hazard disaster landing page that will have information and tips on how on using the Environmental Public Health Tracking Network portal on emergency preparedness and response, and also to develop technical guidance on using the portal and the data available on the portal. And in the beginning, I mentioned that one of our objectives, or the third objective of this particular project, was to have the emergency data feed. We wanted to review the current two-way data exchange methods during a disaster, how CDC currently receives data or facilitates the data exchange for states during a disaster. We are identifying the strength of those and the challenges of the existing methods, because there is no one standardized method that's available at this point, and also the needs vary by type of disaster. And also identify the needs to improve the two-way data exchange. So we are looking into the role of the tracking network infrastructure and the resources available, so we don't have to invent everything brand new. We all leverage the tools that already exist. And also, we are getting support from additional disaster subject matter experts. We have actually worked with the CSC subcommittee in the past. We had showed them a proposal when we first started in year one, shared that this is what we are working towards, and then that helped us form a work group. So we had an all-hazard disaster work group, and some of the members from that CSC's work group were part of our work group. So we started a small work group, and they helped us identify the data sources. They helped us identify the needs that state may have during a disaster response, and they also helped us identify the data visualization and the needs that state and the local health department may have during a disaster response. So we are thankful to our work group, who helped us almost for a whole year, and then we took their feedback. We shared them that this is how we want to visualize the data, and also we mainly looked into that our main challenge was what is missing in the current data sources, or what data sources are not available, what are the limitations of the data sources, and also the variation that we see from jurisdiction or variation that we see state by state. So there are a lot of different challenges we are still working on, but our work group was quite helpful in that. So now we have a lot of different disaster subject matter experts that help us identify, based on their experience and also by reviewing the previous disaster response, what type of data sources we should consider for additional content area. So I want to thank Heather Strohsnyder, who is the co-PI with me on this project. We've been working for the last 3 years together to develop this all-hazard disaster module. Our plan is to write for another cycle of funding from the OPHPR, and if we get that will be wonderful for us to continue this effort, or we'll be still using, if we don't get the funding, to use the current tracking network portal and their resources available to expand on the All Hazard Disaster module. So we're going to hold the question to the end, so thank you.